Thank you, Max, for leading us in song as we raised our voice in praise to our Almighty God. Thank you, Michael, for your prayer. Certainly appreciate that good prayer you led us in this morning, brother. And thank you, Alvin, for giving us that reading of the Scriptures there from Titus chapter 1. And I'd like for you to go ahead and keep your Bibles open as we prepare to begin a series of lessons on the eldership. If you recall, last week I made mention of the fact that the plan for this month, Lord willing, will be to take time to talk about the eldership and the need for the eldership. And we're going to talk about the subject of the eldership throughout our studies for the sermons for the month of August, if it be the Lord's will. And we're going to take time to put emphasis upon the importance of the subject of the eldership. We're going to talk about, first and foremost, this morning, the need for an eldership. As those of us who are members here at Belleville, we recognize that we currently do not have an eldership. And we are, therefore, lacking. And we're going to talk about that this morning, as that being one of the things in regard to the need of an eldership. And we're going to talk about how the subject of the eldership is one of great importance. You see, it is God's will for there to be elders in every church, in every city. We learn about that through the pages of God's Word. We're going to talk about that more this morning. And in preparation for us recognizing the need for an eldership, we're going to take some time to look at some different examples for why there is a need for an eldership. And I'm just going to begin this morning by expressing that the fact that Christ gave some to be pastors, as we see there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, and the example of elders being ordained in every church, as we see in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, and this being desired in every city, as we see in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, expresses a definite need for an eldership. Think about that for a moment. Think about what we learned there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And there Paul records that he being Jesus the Christ, that he himself gave some, not only to be apostles and some to be teachers and evangelists, but also some to be pastors. Think about that. You see, because we can learn from this passage here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 that Christ's desire is for the church to have pastors. We see by apostolic example there in Acts chapter 14, verse number 23, the fact that Paul and Barnabas, as they were going about on their first preaching journey, what it was, one of those things that they did as they went through, appointed and ordained elders in every church. That tells us right there that God's desire is for there to be elders in every church. This is a thing of such importance that we see going back to the scripture reading that Alvin gave for us a few moments ago there from Titus chapter 1 and verse number 5, that Paul left Titus in Crete specifically for a certain reason, didn't he? And what was that reason that Paul said, I left you in Crete so that you may what? Set in order those things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city. Think about that, brethren. Those three passages alone emphasize the need for an eldership. It's also important, something else that we learn from all three of those passages, that the fact that we learn that pastors, by the way, which is the only place you're going to find that in the scriptures, the only place that word is used in that sense of the word pastors is in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. But I want you to notice that word pastors is a term that describes men who are shepherds. It's also known, they're also known as overseers or elders. But that word's plural. He didn't say, and he gave some to be a pastor, but he said he gave some to be pastors, plural. Also, I want you to notice the plurality in the word elders, found there in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, and in Titus chapter 1 and in verse number 5. Paul and Barnabas didn't go about in the first century ordaining just an elder in the early church, but ordaining elders, plural, in the church. We also see that Titus was given the instruction to set in order the things that were lacking and to appoint elders, plural, in every city. That's important. That's an important lesson for us to take note of when we're talking about the eldership. You see, it demands that for there to be an eldership, that there to be more than one elder. And we need to understand that there is to be more than one elder to serve in the eldership in the church. But I also suggest to us that this local church is in need of elders in order to be fully organized according to the New Testament pattern. You see, we have given for us there in Philippians chapter 1 and in verse number 1, the organization of the local church. And I want you to notice, as Paul is writing his greeting to the saints in Philippi, he says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, now watch this, with the bishops, that is, overseers, elders or shepherds, and deacons. You see, the organization for the local church is given for us here in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, and it's very simple. The organization of the local church is to be composed of saints. We see that. And this is a term describing all the members of the church and their holy way of life. The church is composed of saints. It's to be composed of bishops. That is also overseers or elders or shepherds. Those are the ones who are to oversee the local work. They are the ones who are to oversee and lead the local church. And we see deacons, the church being also composed of deacons who also are to serve the local church. But I want us to notice the pattern that is given for us here in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1 for the organization of the local church. It's composed of members, saints, bishops, also overseers, elders, and deacons. And without elders and deacons, we are not a local church that is fully organized. Now, we can be a scriptural church without being fully organized. That's important. We recognize, obviously, in the first century, obviously there were many churches in the first century who were scriptural. They were teaching and preaching according to doctrine and doing things according to the apostles' doctrine, but they didn't have elders. And that was why there was a need to appoint elders. The same today. There's that need to have elders in order to be fully organized according to the New Testament pattern. And without elders and without deacons, we are a church that is not fully organized according to the New Testament pattern. Therefore, there is a need for this local church to have elders in order to be fully organized according to the New Testament pattern. And that takes us right into the next point in regard to the need for an eldership at this local church. Because as we learned a few moments ago there from Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, the fact that Titus' responsibility was to set in order the things that were lacking in Crete and to appoint elders in every city. You see, the point is that without an eldership, the local church is lacking. It's lacking. It's important to note that that word lacking there denotes incomplete. And it's the local church is incomplete or lacking or wanting when there is no elders. Because of what we just talked about in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, that elders are necessary in order for the church to be fully organized according to the New Testament pattern. It's also important to note that is exactly why Paul left Titus in Crete for the task of fully organizing the churches there. That emphasizes again the importance of the need of an eldership. So much so that Paul left Titus in Crete giving him that responsibility to fully organize the churches there, to appoint elders in every city. It's interesting to make mention that the phrase set in order means to make straight or to arrange further. That's what that means. It means to make straight or to arrange further. Again, there were things left unfinished in Crete which he was to complete. One of those things being that of a lack of elders in every city. And we need to understand that when there is a local church without elders, it is a local church that is lacking. It is a local church that is incomplete. And it is a local church that is in need of having elders and deacons, as we talked about in Philippians 1 verse 1, in order to be fully organized according to the New Testament pattern. But I also suggest to us this morning that this local church here at Belleville is in need of an eldership because it is in need of qualified men, that is, elders, to oversee it. You see, as we talked about earlier, the responsibility of the elders and the eldership is to oversee the work of the local church. And we learn about that there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 when Paul was specifically addressing those elders in Ephesus. He reminded them to take heed to themselves and to the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. You see, here we see that elders, Their task is to oversee the flock. That's their job. That's their task. And in this local church of Belleville is in need of men to take the oversight of the work here. It's important when we talk about elders and elders having the oversight that we recognize that oversight is limited to the local work in which they have been appointed elders to. We can learn about that there in 1 Peter chapter 5. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to 1 Peter chapter 5. And here in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1, Peter writes, "The elders who are among you I exhort." Here Peter is specifically addressing and writing to elders in the first century. He says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." Now notice his instruction to them in verse number 2. He said, "Shepherd the flock of God." Now watch this. "Which is among you." That's key. Peter said, "Shepherd the flock which is among you." That's the responsibility of shepherds, of elders. And they have the oversight of the local flock, of the flock which is among them and among them only. He goes on to say, "Serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly." You see, it's important that we understand that we see here again that elders and their task is to be overseers and to serve as overseers of the flock. And it's important that we recognize that to oversee denotes to watch over and or to direct. When we put it in perspective and we understand what that term means, we can quickly realize that without an eldership, we do not have qualified men to take the oversight of this local flock. We don't have qualified men without an eldership who watch over and direct and lead this local flock. That's serious, isn't it? And it is because of that that we need to understand that this church is in need of men who make sure that things are proper and are being done properly according to God's will. You see the need for an eldership in that regard? You do, don't you? Again, I appreciate Michael's prayer a few moments ago that he led us in. And one of the things Michael prayed for was that the things that would be taught and said here today would be in accordance to God's will. Amen. I appreciate that. And we need to understand that as we have been going through this study already this morning, as we've been reading from the pages of God's Word, that His will is for there to be elders in every church, in every city, to have the oversight of the local flock. That's God's will. And this is a duty that has been given to the eldership, and this is a responsibility in which qualified men are needed to take on in order for the local flock here to be properly directed, guided, and watched over. But I also suggest to us this morning that this local church needs qualified men, that is, elders, to be examples to the flock. Not only does this local church here at Belleville need qualified men to oversee the work of this local church, but it also needs qualified men to be examples to the flock. We can learn about this further there in 1 Peter chapter 5. And as we just read a few moments ago there from verses 1 and 2, as Peter was addressing the elders and instructing them to shepherd the flock which is among them, to serve as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. But he also tells them in verse number 3, nor as being lords over those who entrusted you, now watch this, but being examples to the flock. You see, one of the duties of an elder is to be an example setter. And we need qualified men to set the proper example for this local church to follow. You see, this local church needs men who are examples to this local flock. Men who by their conduct set the pattern to go by. We need that here at Belleville. And when you think about the analogy of a shepherd and a sheep, we recognize the fact that shepherds go before the sheep. And we need shepherds here at Belleville to go before the sheep, to go before this local flock, who by their conduct set the proper example to be followed. We need that, brethren. And we need men who lead by example. Men who set the proper example for the rest of us to follow. But we also are in need of qualified men here at Belleville to serve in the eldership to admonish the flock. You see, one of the duties of the elders is to admonish the flock. We learn about this there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want you to notice Paul's instruction to the church in Thessalonica, beginning there in verse number 12. He says, "And we urge you, brethren," urge you to do what, Paul? Well, notice, "to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." Here Paul is instructing the saints in Thessalonica to recognize those who labor among them, those who are over them. That would be those overseers who were over them, who had the rule over them in the Lord. And those who admonished them, he said. Recognize those, Paul said, who admonish you. He says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. I want us to take some time to understand what that word admonish involves. You see, that word admonish involves giving instruction. It involves giving warning. It involves strongly urging or advising to do something or not to do something. And it involves scolding. That's what that word admonish involves. It involves a lot of things, doesn't it? And elders of the local flock have the task of admonishing the flock. Unfortunately, there are going to be times when the local flock is going to be in need of being admonished in some way or another. Those times are going to come. Those times have come. There's times when this local flock here at Belleville needs to be admonished. There's times when we're going to need qualified men to take the lead, to give instruction, to give warning, to even sometimes, unfortunately, do some scolding. This local church at Belleville is in need of being instructed, warned, urged, and sometimes scolded. Therefore, we are in need of qualified men for the eldership here to at times admonish this local flock. But I also suggest to us this morning that we are in need of qualified men to watch out for grievous wolves and those who are able to shut the mouths of some. You see, every local church is in need of men who watch out for the dangers from outside and within. No local church is immune from dangers from without and from within. Therefore, this local church at Belleville is in need of elders to watch out for those dangers that could come from without and within. That's exactly what Paul was instructing the elders in Ephesus to do, as we learned there in Acts chapter 20. Go back with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Acts chapter 20. And again, going back to the text here in Acts chapter 20, we learn in the context that Paul is specifically addressing the elders in Ephesus. And picking up here in verse 28, he says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Now watch verse 29. He says, "For I know this." What do you know, Paul? Well, notice that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you. There he's talking about the dangers from without, from the outside. He's telling them that there's going to be some dangers. There's going to be some wolves from the outside that are going to come in from among you. He says, not sparing the flock. He says also in verse 30, from among yourself. This is a danger from within he's addressing now. He says, from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. So what were those elders, those overseers, those shepherds of the church at Ephesus to do? Well, Paul tells them in verse 31, therefore watch. Watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. You see that? We are in need of qualified men to watch out for the dangers that could come in or be within this local flock. We need men, qualified men, elders to guard and protect this local church at Belleville from error and danger. And there are going to be times when there are going to be some who are going to have a perverse mouth, who are going to seek to deceive others and seek not to be obedient or adherent to the truth, in which their mouths are going to be in need of being shut. We learn about that as we talked about in the reading this morning there in Titus chapter 1. Turn back there with me, if you will, there to Titus chapter 1. And again, after Paul gave Titus the instruction in regard to the qualifications of the elders, he tells him in verse 9 that one of those qualifications is that those men who serve as an elder must hold fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Unfortunately, there's going to be some, maybe, that may come in from the outside, or there may even be some at some point in time that may stand up from within this congregation who may contradict the truth. And in situations like that, what are to be done? What are to be done with those who are insubordinate, those who are idle talkers and deceivers? Verse 11 tells us, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. There's dangers, brethren, from within and without that could creep up among this local church. And it is because of that that this local church needs qualified men to watch out for grievous wolves and those who are able to shut the mouths of some. We need men, qualified men, overseers of this flock to guard and to protect this local flock. But this local church is also in need of qualified men to watch out for souls. You see, we learn that one of the responsibilities of an elder is to watch out for souls. We learn about that there in Hebrews chapter 13. And here in Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse number 17, the Hebrews writer instruction to those early Christians was this: obey those who rule over you. That is, those who oversee you. Obey them, he says, and be submissive. Why? For they watch out for your souls. You see that? I want us to take some time to understand what a grave responsibility that is. What a grave responsibility it is to watch out for the souls of men. You see, the souls of men are precious. The souls of men are more valuable than anything, including the world itself. And there is no greater responsibility than that of watching out for the souls of men. To put that in perspective, I want to quote the words of James Garfield to you. James Garfield was the 20th president of the United States of America. And James Garfield once served as an elder in the Lord's church. And I want to quote his words when he resigned as an elder of the church to take the presidency of the United States of America. And it was at that time that James A. Garfield is quoted for saying, and I quote, "I resign the highest office in the land to become president of the United States." End quote. Think about that. You think he understood the responsibility that he had of being one who watched out for souls? He certainly did. And what did he consider that responsibility to be? The highest office in the land. Amen. Without a doubt, serving as an elder. Those men who serve as elders, they have the greatest responsibility on earth. That responsibility is to oversee the souls of men, the souls of the local flock which they oversee. And without a doubt, it is the highest office that a man can serve. There is no higher office that a man, no greater responsibility that a man can take on. Not even the President of the United States can compare to the responsibility of watching over the souls of men. Think about that. And understand that elders are watchmen. They are guardians who look out carefully for the souls of the local flock in which they watch over. And there is a great need for qualified men to serve as elders in the eldership here at Belleville to watch over the souls of this local flock. But I also suggest to us this morning that this local church here at Belleville is in need of an eldership because this church needs those who seek after lost sheep. Again, we used the analogy earlier about the shepherd and his sheep. And shepherds, overseers of the flock are needed to sometimes go after sheep that stray from the flock. We all recognize that out in the field there are going to be times when shepherds are going to be leading their flock, and there's going to be time when maybe one out of the hundred are going to go astray. One of those sheep are going to take a wrong turn or somehow or another just wander off and get lost. And what does that shepherd of the field do when one of those sheep go astray? What's he do? Jesus gives us an illustration of that, doesn't he, in Luke 15? He leaves the 99 and he goes after that one that went astray. Sadly, there are going to be times when there are going to be sheep, members of this local flock, who for some reason or another are going to go astray. And it is during times like that that this local church is in need of having men who go after lost sheep. Men who go after to recover those sheep that have wandered away and to bring them back to the fold. Again, we have that analogy given for us there in Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. I'm not going to take the time to read that, as good Bible students. We're very familiar with that parable of the lost sheep. Very familiar of that shepherd leaving the 99 to go after the one that went astray, to bring him back. And familiar with the response of that shepherd when he found that sheep. He rejoiced. We need men who go after the lost sheep to lead them back to the fold in times when the sheep go astray. But we also are in need of an eldership at this local church at Belleville in order to help it grow both spiritually and numerically. Are you aware of the fact that in order for this church, this local church at Belleville, to prosper to its fullest potential, in order for it to benefit and to grow both spiritually and numerically, that there's a great need for elders. Are you aware of that? You see, this need can be emphasized. This need can be emphasized there in Ephesians chapter 4. Turn back with me, if you will, there to your Bibles, there to Ephesians chapter 4. I just want to read this text in its fullest context to get the understanding of the benefit of the need for an eldership in order for the church to grow and to be edified. And we learn here in Ephesians chapter 4, going back there, beginning in verse 11, that and he himself, that being Christ, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, there's our word, and teachers. Why? Notice verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In a nutshell, we can learn from this text that we just read that Christ made provision. He made provision for the extension, that is the growth and the edification of his church, by giving some to be pastors. Think about that. Those are one of the areas in which Christ made provision for the church to grow and to be edified, to be built up, by making some and giving some to be pastors or elders. Therefore, brethren, pastors, that is elders, are needed to help this local church grow, both spiritually and numerically, and in order for this church to be edified, that is to be built up. Think about that. And may we all understand that there is a great need for this local church to have an eldership. Therefore, let's recognize our need for an eldership here at Belleville. And let's be working toward being able to appoint qualified men here at Belleville to the position of an elder. The Lord willing, tonight we're going to take some time to talk about the kind of men needed in the church to serve as elders. We've talked about this morning the need for an eldership. And tonight we're going to talk about the kind of elders that are needed in the church. And I certainly encourage each and every one to come back as we continue our series of lessons on the subject of the eldership. And I certainly encourage us all to be mindful of the great need for an eldership and for us all to recognize the need of an eldership here at Belleville. As we noted earlier, in regard to one of the responsibilities of an elder is to watch out for the souls of men. And we made the point that one soul is their most valuable possession. Jesus even asked the question there in Matthew chapter 16. He asked, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" We know the answer to that, or at least I hope we do. The answer to that is absolutely nothing. Nothing whatsoever will it profit a man if he happens to gain the whole world and yet loses his own soul. You see, one soul is their most valuable possession. And there is a great need for one to have their heart right with God. For when that great day comes and we all someday stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we can hear those words that we all long to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. In order to hear those words, our heart must be right with God. And if there is one here this morning who at this time has not submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, we plead with you to do that this very hour. We plead with you to get your heart right with God right now, while you still have the opportunity to do so, remembering that your soul is your most valuable possession. And if there is one here this morning who has not yet submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ this very hour. And you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1 verse 2. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who has already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight narrow path that leads to life. You too are to be reminded of the fact that your soul is your most valuable possession, and you are in need of repenting and returning to your first love and to be faithful unto death, so that you too can have that hope of eternal life in heaven. And if there would be one here this morning who is subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song of Maxwell's Message.